Leon.
Leon. Yeah. Well, good evening. Welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, why are you here? That's my first question tonight. Why did you make the effort to come out and be here? Well, I won't ask you to raise hands or give answers, but there are three main reasons why you should be here. One is the most important, and then second and third are runners-up to that. The first reason, well, let's pick on the little people. Why are they here? Well, they're here because mom and dad brought them. That's the way it ought to be. I can remember younger days when the reason young fellows came to church was in case they would run into some young lady that sort of appealed to them. And that's not a bad idea either. The reason you're here is to praise God. That's your very first reason. Now, if I was to set up a blackboard and ask you to give me all the reasons why you should come to church, we would fill that board probably with answers. You could list a whole bunch of reasons, but there is one paramount reason. And I'll give you scriptures to back this up. It's to praise God. To acknowledge who He is, our one and only supreme being, the creator of this earth and our lives, our God. I want to read from Psalm 57. I'm going to read verses 7 through 11. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord. Among the people I will sing unto thee, among the nations. For the mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And then a corollary to that, of course, is the acceptance of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as our Savior, the one who brought the plan of salvation. But our first reason for being here is to praise our Heavenly Father, to give Him glory for all we have, for He is the author of it all. The second reason why you're here, think about it. It's because you were commanded to be here. Do you remember that? He commanded that we meet oft. Why? So that together we could praise our God and identify Him and support each other in that belief and then, possibly, be taught or learn more about him. But we should be here because of commandment. And I want to turn to 3 Nephi. And chapter 8. An admonishment to us here in chapter 8. It's on page 652 of the Book of Mormon. I'm going to start, it's actually verse 53, but I'm going to start at 51. For this gives a little more of a reason. For Satan desireth to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, you must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given to you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, you shall meet together oft. Not possibly, maybe, whenever you feel like it, but you shall meet together oft. And you shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when you shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you and forbid them not. And you shall pray for them and shall not cast them out. And if so be that they come unto you oft, you shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light that it may shine unto the world. So that's a second reason to be here. I don't think I'll read it, but this same thing is in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse in the Bible. And then the third reason, which really gets into all of those other reasons that I was talking about that you could put on a blackboard if you had one sitting here and we were to label them, is to be taught the gospel, is to be taught the way of life, to hear what your Heavenly Father has to say if he has a message for you, to support and be with each other. And for a reference on that reason, I want to turn back to the Bible, to Acts. And the 20th chapter. I think this is Paul speaking. I'm going to read verses 18 through 21 of the 20th chapter of Acts. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing but was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, in fact, is what we are to teach and preach today. faith and repentance and baptism, the gospel as brought by Jesus. And here it was that he was giving a testimony that he had fulfilled this commandment when he was in the process of doing this. And hopefully, you'll agree with me and recognize those as reasons for being here. And then when we bring our little ones, they'll be exposed to this. They will hear these messages. They will get the example. They will hear the testimonies. And those that come as they meet oft, that are weak in spirit, will be buoyed up by like thoughts and by support. That's the purpose. But there are a whole list of things that then we should do and endeavor to meet our Heavenly Father, to keep his commandments, and support each other. And these are scriptures that I have taken from Ephesians, Hebrews, Timothy, what's called the pastorals of the New Testament. And they're very important. You've heard them in sermons from the other ministry as they speak to you from this podium. Nothing new, but just a refresher course in the Gospel 101, I guess you could say. But first, I want to set the tone for our environment, because the things that we do and the things that we're engaged in are based largely on the influences on us from our environment. You've heard me read this scripture before. Others have read it. I'm going to read it again. It's in 2 Timothy. And we're going to go to the third chapter, I think. We'll read the first five verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. I think you can identify with that this fits our time. Not that it hasn't fit other times in history and other peoples, but certainly at our time. And unfortunately, the world is going in the wrong direction. And some of these things are getting worse. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. In some countries throughout this world, the persecution of Christians is building. We are fortunate. We live in a country where that hasn't really happened yet. It started, but it hasn't really happened. But it will. Not to paint a doomsday picture, but that's the environment in which we're exposed here. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Everything the world is engaged in right now is having fun. That's not what the gospel is all about. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. from such turn away. When the Puritans founded this country, they were strong. In their meeting houses, they had prayer services. When they had problems in their community, they called a day of prayer, all left their jobs. They all worked at it from a spiritual standpoint. That's no longer the first step in this country. Oh, we have faiths that claim to be Christian, yes. But when you speak to them, they say, oh, well, that was back then. It doesn't happen anymore. Denying the power thereof. These things are all around us. So it is even more important to be here, to attend things like our rally, to learn, to be ready at any moment to give an answer for your faith and the things that you believe. Then how do we react to this environment? What do we do? Well, first, let's look at 1 Peter. And I think it's the third chapter, and we're going to go to the 15th verse. In the 15th verse, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." We should always be ready. I always think of, I read that and I think of Sean and the testimonies that he's given about starting the day at work with prayer and speaking to the people he works with about them. I used to do this when I was working and meeting people, and it always surprised some when they'd make some off-color remark or comment, and I'd say, that's not the Christian thing to do. You shouldn't say those things. And it's always a surprise. Some people will acknowledge it and say, oh, I'm sorry. And you maybe even win a few. But you should always be ready to give that testimony, no matter what. Could it lead to persecution? Yeah. Yeah. But you still should do it. Let's go to Hebrews. There's Hebrews, the sixth chapter. I don't know how many times I've heard this in a sermon from others. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. That should be our goal. We always want to learn more, get closer to God, try to do more if we can, move in the right direction, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. We should always be striving to perfect our course and giving those testimonies, as I said before, is just one way of doing it. Let's go to 1 John. Okay, let's look at the first chapter. And maybe we'll look at verses 8 and 9. It says here, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, that doesn't mean that we are all cloaked in it or that the days are dark, but we sometimes make mistakes. We make bad judgments, remembering that environment of the world out there and what we're in, but it's not an excuse. We should always be striving. So it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. That's a promise. If you find yourself mistaken, going in the wrong direction, you said something that you shouldn't have said, correct it if you can. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. Extract me from this mess I just got into. And he promises he will. He is just to forgive and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Word is not in us. So don't be hesitant. Don't be afraid. Admit your wrongs. And he is quick to save. Then if we go on to the second verse, or the second chapter, I mean, chapter 2 of 1 John, and I'm going to read maybe the first 4 or 5 verses. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That too is a promise. Jesus is there for everybody. All you have to do is reach out. But you do have to reach out. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And whereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Pretty straightforward. Sometimes that's too simple for some people. They seek things that are convoluted and confusing. But go to the simplicity of the word, for therein lies the truth. Let's stay right there in 1 John. And the second chapter, and look down here at verses 15 and 18. Remembering that scripture that I read you in 2 Timothy about the environment, the world in which we live. It says, starting at verse 15, chapter 2, 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think that may have even been some of the comments of Brother Ricky this morning in his sermon. For all that is in the world, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. It was because of comments like that that the people in that day thought that the coming of Christ, his second coming, was imminent. We can look back historically, we know now that wasn't true. But the last times didn't start yesterday or in the early 50s, it started back then. God's timetable is different than ours, and we don't know when the end will be or how quick it'll come, but it'll come as a thief in the night. And we should be ready. Leaving those first principles, like I read, and going on to perfection. And you've heard this from the ministry before. I hope you won't feel beaten down by it. As I said, this is a reminder course. This is a review. Let's go to Ephesians. And second chapter, maybe. Let's do verse 1 through 8. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That word dead is a mystery word, and it has several meanings in the Bible. And in this case, it means sinful, or that if you were once dead, that is, before you accepted the salvation of the gospel, that you were in sin and you were not saved. But, verse 2, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He makes it pretty clear, Paul does, that the devil is the one who masterminds the way things go in this world. And it's up to us to meet those challenges and not fall into the grip of them. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead to sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's what we have to look forward to. And we have help at every turn. Well, I've thrown out that question. why you were here, and I've read a few of the things from the pastoral that tell about what we face and the challenges and how we should stay firm. I want to ask my second question. Why am I here? Why is Daniel here? Well, I hope I'll give the answer for both of us. It's the same as the answer to the first question I asked you, why you were here. It's to praise our Lord. And as proof of that, I offer you from Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the Lord's Prayer. How does the Lord's Prayer go? Our Father. Our Father, those are the first words out of your mouth. Who art in heaven? Hallowed be thy name. We're here to acknowledge God, that he is the creator, that he is our Father. And he put that in the Lord's Prayer. The second part of that, why are we here? I asked before we came up here tonight, I said, "Dan, Daniel, will you take charge for me?" And he said, "Sure." That's one of the reasons the ministry is here, because we know you'll be here. And that's our mission, to take charge, to guide, to offer thoughts, scriptures, teaching, explanation, all of these things. And then the third reason is akin to it. We are called of God as ministers. And we are given the responsibility and the duty to just do just exactly what I just said, to help you. It's called service. And I want to read a few scriptures about that. Not to lecture the ministry, but to let you know why we're here. We're here for the same reasons you are. But added to that is the responsibility of service. And our goal is the same as yours. And we have the same struggles you do, the same temptations, and we live in that same corrupt world that you do. Let's go to 1 Peter. Fifth chapter. Peter says, the elders, fifth chapter, verses 1 through, oh, I suppose 5, something like that. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, excuse me, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You see, again, it's written in the word service. We're not in charge of anybody. And we can't tell anybody what to do. You have to make your own decisions. You decide what's right and wrong for you. Your responsibility is on your shoulders. But our responsibility is to help you with that responsibility. It's a domino effect. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. Nobody pays us the big bucks. But of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What a promise. What a promise. But if you follow that lead, you have the same promise. And I know you've heard this before. I'm just trying to remind you. Conjure up your memories. Let's go to Titus. And I have a terrible time with Titus in this Bible, but I'll get there. It's after 2 Timothy, I think. Yep, there it is. Titus, 3rd chapter. The first 3 or 4 verses. One of the pastorals, this is instruction from Paul to Titus about what he should do, how she should handle the various churches he should visit. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And you know, I think Ricky said something about that this morning in his tithing sermon about taxes and obeying the laws of the land, so to speak. Obey magistrates and be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Again, leadership and service. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Goodness. Paul's confession, I gather. But after that, the kindness of love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Because he's always quick to forgive. Well, let me see. I want to wrap up here. I've got a couple of scriptures. See which ones I use. Let's go to 2 Timothy, which is right in front of Titus, I think. Let's look at chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read the first 3 or 4 verses. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, this is Paul to Timothy. This is one of the pastorals. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I trust that is not going to be true of this group, that we will endure sound doctrine, that we will put away the six principles and go on to perfection. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The world does that. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But which thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. There he acknowledges that what I read there originally in Timothy about the world in these last days, that it's going to come. We will face it. But we've got to be diligent and remember the promises of our Lord. Let's just drop back to chapter 3. I'm just going to read two verses here. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. We know Paul's history, and he recognized he was wrong, and he was quick to accept the message from the Lord and take upon him the responsibility that was given him. And we know what he did. His various trips into Asia, and going to Rome, and all of the things that he did. He suffered. And because of that, we have these letters to these other men to guide us and to help us. Let's end up here with 1 Timothy in the 4th chapter. First Timothy 4th chapter 5th and 6th verse. But if thou put the brethren in remembrance of all these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I hope in my review this evening I haven't bored you. And please, don't feel like I've brought down the hammer, because this is a review. And you've been hearing this from the other ministry, as you should. That's their job. But think about it when you come to meetings like the rally, or prayer service, or here on Sunday, or sacrament service, why you're there. Say a prayer. Dedicate yourself. Bring your mind in from the world. And I know that in most cases, I'm probably preaching to the choir. And the little guys, they'll absorb some of this, and they'll pick it up. And you parents can teach it to them at home, and they can gain that same promise. anyone should want any of these scriptures, I'll be glad to share them with you. God bless you, and may your road ahead be a smooth one.